Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Prime Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob unveiled his cabinet lineup today, keeping the number of ministers and deputy ministers the same as his predecessor. 16 ministers were kept in the same portfolio, 10 were reshuffled to different posts, and 5 new names were added to the lineup. Of the 4 ministries that have the most important role in managing the pandemic, Education and MITI both retained their ministers, Razieddin and Azmin Ali, respectively, whereas Adam Baba and Khairi Jamaluddin swapped portfolios. Joining us to discuss this further, we have Azrul Mohamad Khalib, the CEO of the Gallen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Azrul, good evening. Thank you for being on the show tonight. Now, the survival of this next government will largely hinge on its success in managing the pandemic. So getting the public health leadership right is going to be crucial for Ismail Sabri. What do you think lies behind the decision to have Khairi Jamaluddin lead or head the health ministry?
Well, for one thing, I do think it's to maintain consistency, harmonization, and to basically converge the roles in which Khairi Jamaluddin has had over the past year or so, especially in spearheading the vaccination program. But also, perhaps even, there is a hope by the Prime Minister to sort of bring in a little bit of that KJ magic into the health ministry to try to get a handle on the management of the epidemic in Malaysia. Because today, you know, we've seen, I think this afternoon, we saw the reports of 339 deaths. We see increasing number of cases in many non-Klang Valley states. And it is very obvious that even though we're seeing quite a lot of success in the vaccination program, the same cannot be said in terms of managing the epidemic, where we're seeing continuous five-digit cases that are more than 24,000, 25,000 in terms of daily reports. So there definitely is a lot of thinking there in terms of perhaps he can continue on with his work in terms of the vaccination, but also now also deal with the management of the disease itself.
Azrul, I'm not a big believer in magic, but I take what you're saying about his relative success, I mean, relative to his colleagues, especially the health minister, who's now been tasked to head MOSTI. But I want to ask you a question that's specific to the health ministry, which is that the health ministry doesn't just deal with COVID and the pandemic. And what KJ will have to do is to balance that particular aspect of his work from the previous administration with the larger question of the management of the ministry. Where do you think the health bureaucracy will need a firm hand? Where has it been failing? And do you think KJ is up to the task with dealing with that dimension of the problem?
Well, Sharad, perhaps I should use Minyak KJ rather than Magic KJ instead. And this is where...
Like a lubricant. Yes, okay.
Okay. So here we are. We're looking at a ton of health problems. You know, it's not just about COVID. Right now, we've been focused on just this coronavirus pandemic, and pretty much our attention, resources, and commitments have been about controlling the disease. But as you say, you know, he's going to be inheriting a basketful of problems which pre-exist COVID, but also perhaps it's maybe 20 to 30 years worth of issues concerning healthcare that he will have to now confront. So previously, he was privileged to only have to think about COVID-19 vaccination, and he was not the health minister then, but now he is. And this is where we actually have to be able to manage expectations. Realistically, I would have to say he only has a year and a half to do the work that needs to be done before the next election. So we are going to have to manage our expectations. He's going to have to focus on what he needs to deliver within that short period of time and see what needs to be prioritized and what is most importantly is much needed in terms of reforms.
Okay, well, what about, just to follow up Sharad's question about the Ministry of Health's bureaucrats and a bureaucracy. It's mammoth bureaucracy. Can we talk a little bit about that? I mean, the person heading the Ministry of Health now will have to deal with the very conservative bureaucracy of the Ministry of Health. Even Liu Qintong had, I think, called for the current Director General of Health, Dr. Noor Hisham, to be replaced, citing some of the DG's bad calls in the past that had major repercussions. I'm wondering whether KJ will be able to rein in some of those decisions, whether he will be able to be a strong leader when it comes to public health, particularly given that this is going to be a new portfolio, but he doesn't have a medical background. Not that you require a medical background, but will he be able to stand to make those decisions from people who have been in the MOH for a very long time?
Well, the great thing about what's happened here is that KJ is going to be able to hit the ground running. He knows the landscape. He is familiar with the people who are involved in not just COVID-19, but other aspects of the ongoing vaccination program. So he's not an unfamiliar face. He also knows some of the people who are in the bureaucracy of the Ministry of Health. But you're right. Ministry of Health has a massive bureaucracy, which will require a certain amount of firm handling. And most importantly, for them to be able to respect him as being now their boss. You know, you saw that in this viral video that went around Twitter, I think, social media, where, you know, there is a certain amount of resentment that has been brought about by the way he has handled what is usually a Ministry of Health function, which is vaccination. And now he needs to sort of assuage some of those egos and pride of people who toes he has stepped on in terms of trying to get the work done for the vaccination effort. And now he is in a position to not only just continue on with the work that needs to be done with regards to COVID-19, but also introduce some difficult discussions concerning contract medical workers, healthcare financing reform, and even things like medicine procurement, which needs a certain amount of progressive thinking, which I'm hoping that he'll be able to bring. But having said that, though,
right,
this is where leadership matters.
In there, just because we're running out of time. A very important question was, there was a swap around between Adam Baba and Kari Jamaluddin. I don't know if you help us understand what's going on there, because Adam Baba was much panned during his time as health minister. Many gaffes that have become meme-worthy. The question is, why was it necessary to have him in the position of Mosty? Is there some sort of synergy that we don't we don't know about, the general public doesn't know about, that makes this an appealing combination?
Well, you know, for one thing, he's younger. So one of the things that we are able to see each time he's given a new portfolio, he's able to make it into something that he owns and turns around. We've seen him in the sports, youth and sports portfolio, the Mosty portfolio, and now health. So one of the things that we're hoping to see right now is him being able to bring in some of the new kind of thinking that he's able to bring through younger people being involved, outside people from outside the healthcare, public healthcare system, to be brought into as a sort of council, but also advisory body for us to be able to see some out-of-the-box thinking and dealing with issues such as the pandemic that we see right now. So we're hoping that one of the things that we're going to be able to see from his leadership is some of this new thinking in terms of healthcare, because he seems to be eager to learn. He has a good learning curve, and most importantly, he is willing to listen. So we're hoping that he will bring in a culture of consultation and listening to those in the Ministry of Health, so that we're able to future-proof the healthcare system, not just preparing for COVID-19, but for the next pandemic as well.
Azrul, always a pleasure talking to you. That was Azrul Mohamed Khalid from the Gallen Centre. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with more. Stay tuned to Consider This. Hello, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Gutin. Tricia Yeo is the CEO of the think tank Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or better known as IDEAS. She joins us on the show tonight. Tricia, good evening. What do you think of the cabinet lineup that was announced?
Hi, Melissa. Hi, Shara. Thanks for having me. Well, I think the initial reaction was that it's not really a new cabinet at all. I mean, as many of the memes have already been, you know, being sent around, it's really just a reshuffle more than anything else, and then just changing the head. Removal of some people, of course, Muhyiddin himself not being there, some switch around, some new entrants. But by and large, it's the same cabinet, just some changes, that's all.
Tricia, how do you think this is going to play, considering public expectations are very high that this cabinet would not only be different, but it would be one focus on the triple crisis that we have now, and also that, you know, this was a chance for and not be saddled with the, you know, the taint of the Perikatan National Government?
Yes, I do think that it's a bit of a disappointment in that sense, because the expectations were quite high on the back of the whole change and an opportunity that Ismail Sabri actually had to do the good things that people expected. But of course, given the fact that not much has changed, I do think that there is some disappointment there. But having said that, I do think that it's more about the fact that there is some stability in terms of, yes, the cabinet has been appointed now, and there's also some continuity in respect of some of the ministries, like the Minister of Finance, Miti, and the fact that, you know, Khairi has been given the Ministry of Health as well.
But Tricia, you know, having said that, that those ministers have retained their portfolios, is that a good thing for Malaysia's international standing, for Malaysia's investor confidence that they have been retained? I mean, I'm looking at the news headlines today. Malaysia ranked last out of 53 countries in Bloomberg's monthly COVID-19 resilience ranking. That's not good. Is this continuity going to be seen as a positive thing for investors?
I think some of the continuity is, it's good in the sense that, I mean, I think there's not been enough time as well, like, to see some of these things through. The National Recovery Plan was only very recently launched. It was only very recently given to the Ministry of Finance. So some of them would be relatively good. And a lot of it is actually related to the COVID-19 and the whole pandemic management, right? Which we have seen now some switching around between MOH and MOSTI. The fact that Malaysia ranks last in this Bloomberg ranking, and it's also reflected in the normalcy index. You know, there's another index that shows that Malaysia is very far down the list as well. So a lot of it has to do with pandemic. And I think a lot of expectations will now be on Khairi to be able to deliver how efficiently he's been able to do that on the vaccination front. So we hope that that continues. But larger problems like the public health care system, whether or not there's enough financing given to the hospitals, you know, there's been a lot of volunteerism going on, but really these things need to be coming from the health ministry, and also managing of the SOPs and making sure that there are no flip-flops. So I suppose that on the Ministry of Health front, that will be some refreshing, you know, change there. But with regards to things like SOP, home ministry, that you don't see any change there. But I think there's a new, you know, the National Recovery Council has just included this new team to put together SOP. So, I mean, let's see. I think we can't really second guess at the moment. Yes.
Tricia, I want to ask you this. You know, it seems that, yes, a lot of attention is on Khairi. Is it because, in many ways, the vaccination rollout is seen as the magic wand, that this is going to deliver Malaysia out of the pandemic, out of the economic crisis, and therefore, you know, that was the one major appointment that was different and perhaps lauded. Whereas there are so many other dimensions to the problem. Let's take education, for instance. You know, this is a lost generation. 2 years have gone by with education, primary education, basically decimated. And the same man leads that ministry.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it has to do with the pandemic. So the last 1.5 years cannot be measured by any normal standards. A lot of the decision-making had everything to do with the pandemic, including education, right, the reopening of schools. I don't think that the Ministry of Education could have made those decisions without the Ministry of Health advisory. So this is why so much of this development over the next few months will be pinned on and centered on how the Ministry of Health makes decisions, because nothing really can move unless MOH actually gives the green light, because a lot of it is centered on public health. And why Kyrie was given so much limelight, I mean, there's so many different keys to unlocking the problem that is the pandemic, right? And vaccination is just one of those keys, one of those aspects. I think it's just because vaccinations have gone well, and it's all relative, right? Like, everything else has gone badly, but vaccinations have gone well. So in relative terms...
Very quickly pivot the conversation. I know we were talking about the pandemic management, but I was thinking about the size of this cabinet. Ismail Sabri maintained the size of Muhyiddin's cabinet, exactly the same, 32 ministers and 38 deputies. I'm just wondering whether this is going to be the norm for Malaysia going forward, that cabinets will keep this size or keep growing on the basis of political expediency, and there might not be any will to downsize cabinets.
Yeah, this is the problem with having too large of a coalition. So the more parties you have, the more positions you need to fill and to distribute, because these are essentially seen as rewards for supporting the coalition that's sitting in government. And I think the other problem is that the more factionalism there is within the parties, the more positions need to be distributed as well. So unless there is a strong leader who can say, you know, let's stop this nonsense, let's really put a stop to it, and not have to distribute these positions as freely as they are goodies, then this is going to be the culture moving forward. I mean, for example, already the replacement of a deputy minister and given, you know, 4 senior ministers instead, which Muhyiddin did, and now Ismail is just following suit, is the exact same example. If this Perikatan National Coalition is going to be maintained with the same number of parties, with the same number of factions, I suppose this will be the culture moving forward. I don't think it's a positive trend, but it is the reality, at least, of coalition politics today.
Tricia, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. That was Tricia Yeo of the think tank Ideas. We will be back after this quick break. Stay tuned. Hello, thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Joining us now on the show is Bastian Ong, an exco member of UMNO Youth. Excuse me, Bastian. Good evening. Thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me again.
Bastian, UMNO Youth had lobbied for the party's deputy president, Mom Azan, for the position of finance minister. Is UMNO Youth disappointed that their men didn't get the job?
First of all, that the prerogative of forming the cabinet lies with the prime minister. And again, that the party, of course, can make certain suggestions, but the party will always make a political stand. But as a prime minister, he got to look for the well-being of the nation and the right people for the right place. And of course, the Prime Minister probably have the best people in the cabinet, but with the limitation that he is currently facing, I'm sure he has reason not to appoint Thomas Hassan as the finance minister.
Bastian, what I understand, you know, kind of coming into this process when Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin was still prime minister, was that the criticism of the Perikatan National Government was that its own values or its own a lack of creative thinking about how it could help especially those who were hard-pressed economically by the crisis. And they were looking for somebody other than Tunku Zafrul who could shift and recalibrate the government's approach to helping people with regard to banks, with regard to unemployment issues and such. Does this mean, with the continuity of Tunku Zafrul in the position of finance minister, that we will not see a recalibration of an approach under Ismail Sabri?
Probably that you have the same people in the same cabinet, in the same portfolio, that again, the decision maker would be the prime minister. So it's a bit too early for me to predict that this new cabinet will do or repeat the same mistake that that didn't please the people in the past. That I believe that Yang Amat Berhormat Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri will have different kind of judgment on certain decisions. So I hope I wish him well, and I hope that we will see some changes in terms of looking after the well-being of the people and how we're going to move forward in fighting COVID and appear as a winner. Right.
Bastian, looking at the lineup, Zaid Hamidi's UMNO 15 group gained very little from this lineup, despite the role that they played in Ismail Sabri's rise to the prime minister position. Is there any unhappiness about that?
I think that, to be fair, it's clearly that Ismail Sabri, prime minister, has garnered the right numbers. And to be a prime minister, it also you need a support from other parties, the coalition. And everybody can try to be the prime minister, but the question is whether they have the numbers, whether they can command the support and the case that people are tired of this political play. And I think that everybody has resorted to ceasefire and hoping that this new government will move forward and bring us into G15.
But Bastian, the question of support, I understand that this is a politically expedient cabinet, one that sort of pleases all the bases for Ismail Sabri to get that vote of confidence when parliament opens. But what about the public's expectation? This is a bloated cabinet, huge, not just with the chief, the ministers, but the rest, with the many deputies. It's a huge cost to the taxpayer, not just as they serve, but, you know, when they get their pensions as well. And they weren't very competent. This is the same group of people. How do you prove now that UMNO, leading the same group of people, is going to do better than the previous administration? Will this be, baggage that UMNO will have to carry into GE15?
I said it earlier, there is not much option there. But, again, that doesn't give the new prime minister a reason not to do well. What I am hoping that his leadership will get the best out of all the leaders that some of you call it a recycle, some of it was done in it's a bad taste cabinet. But it's still too early. And some of the, there is a certain judgment that Dr. Ismail Sabri has to take. And one of it is that he probably don't want to gamble on a new leader, because in the current situation where we have a common enemy and you need an experienced leader, and he doesn't have much option. When you look around...
Who is the common enemy? Could you please explain very quickly who the common enemy is?
COVID-19 is our common enemy, and our economic situation is our common enemy. That it demands everybody to stay united facing this enemy. And I think that it's a little bit too early, and I hope that the new Prime Minister, will do well and focus on certain priorities that are close to the people.
Right. Bastian, thank you for sharing the perspective from UMNO Youth. That was Bastian On, exco member of UMNO Youth. We're wrapping up this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you tonight, I just want to remind you that you can get all the latest information on COVID-19 vaccines from astroawani.com as well as our Astro Awani app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Have a great weekend, folks.